The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Friday. How is life for you? How are you holding up this morning? Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Read them all. In fact, we're going to have some more extended emails. I got a lot of people writing about things we were talking about yesterday, including what was going on with the foreign nationals that were cut loose from Medford, from Jackson County Jail on Tuesday afternoon after being stopped by OSP on Monday. And I was trying to find out what was going on here. How is it that you have a couple of foreign nationals caught clearly, you know, dead to rights? You got 276,000 or so counterfeit pills just loaded with fentanyl in it in the commercial truck. And then they write them permission slips to go back to Sonora, Mexico, and saying, hey, you can come back. Well, I ended up talking to some law enforcement people about this yesterday. I did not hear anything from the incoming district attorney, Patrick Green. I don't know, maybe his campaign website no longer works or whatever it is, but that's the last time I'd had contact with him. But I didn't get anything back from him, and it sounds like he had the Medford Circuit Court, a Jackson County Circuit Court, pointing fingers at the Jackson County DA's office, and, it's their fault. This is the reason why the illegals were cut loose. And then I called Sheriff Nate Sickler, Jackson County Sheriff Nate Sickler, about this. And I talked with him about 10, 15 minutes, and I don't know if he'll have time to maybe come on the show this morning. He's been busy with some other things. But he explained, Bill, I think what's going on here, and he was trying to get to the bottom of this, and he did not get back to me yet. But I think what he's talking about right now is Senate Bill 48. This is an example of Senate Bill 48. Senate Bill 48 was passed by the Democrat-controlled legislature back in 2021. And at its heart, it's about making sure that, you know, the thing is, though, if you're being held in jail, that's a bad thing because the people who are held in jail, you know, there's disparate impact. It's this whole DEI thing once again. It doesn't matter if a particular population tends to do more dirtbaggy crime. What counts is that everybody should be, you know, everyone in jail should be matching the percentages of the population rather than the percentages of their dirtbagginess as far as behavior. And arguably, there is a problem on the West Coast with a porous, wide-open border that most of the people who are going to be caught being drug mules for Mexican drug cartels are going to be Mexican. Because, well, they're Mexican drug cartels. But you see, the wisdom of the Democrat-controlled state legislature back in 2021 says, you know, you really can't. You know, it's bad when you have too many of the people actually doing the crimes in jail awaiting trial. We can't do that. And that's what Senate Bill 48 ended up addressing, making it much harder to keep people in jail. And you have to have public defenders. We already have a public defender shortage. This is something that Sheriff Nate Sickler was explaining to me. And there's all sorts of rules and all sorts of tiers. But I'm going to go back to a 2022 story from KTVL. And this is when Oregon Senate Bill 48 passed. Pam Marsh, a representative of Southern Oregon, said SB 48 now bases the decision to release a suspect before their trial date on their danger level to society. It completely removes the previous bail system, which based a suspect's pretrial release on money. This means that some very dangerous people were allowed out without any kind of conditions to our streets simply because they were able to make bail, Pam Marsh said. Well, that also meant that some people who weren't dangerous but were poor or didn't have family connections stayed in jail, sometimes for a very long time. That danger level assessment put in place under Senate Bill 48 to decide if an Oregon suspect can be released before the trial date is split into three different categories. One, people who will be released on their own recognizance or their word to show up in court will mostly be people charged with low-level crimes like theft, trespassing, or criminal mischief. The way Sheriff Nate Sickler explained it to me this is how it would work, Bill. This is kind of crude, but let's say that somebody were to walk up to your front porch, drop their trousers, and do their business, just defecate on your, you know, on your front porch or whatever it is. So we pick them up, and they're going to be out of jail within no time, right? All right. Now you have the second term, or the second tier here with Senate Bill 48. Conditional releases cover things like DUIIs, personal misdemeanors like an assault charge, and certain felonies, as long as the charges aren't domestic violence related. This release would include conditions like pretrial supervision or monitoring. And number three, people charged with more serious felonies, domestic violence charges, all sex crimes, gun charges, and failure to appear in court, would be held until they appear before a judge. In other words, held until they appear before a judge. We haven't done that before. We just set bail, but it's clear that if it's met, you're out, Marsh said. And so what we're trying to replace that is with an actual assessment of the danger posed by those individuals. So I can't explain what happened with the foreign nationals. We don't know for a fact because everyone's pointing fingers at each other because they know that the, well, as the liberal media likes to say, the optics aren't good. You know, it just doesn't look good that you're cutting loose cartel drug mules that we're going to be delivering more than a quarter million fentanyl pills to the streets of Oregon. It's a big deal. Big felony. But it could be one of those things where under Senate Bill 48, what is the danger to society? And they look at the gentle Mexican drug mules who were not supposed to note, who are actually, I guess, are supposed to be kicked out because remember, we're not supposed to imprison people above their percentage of population. Remember, disparate impact. Everything is not about what somebody does, but what's the skin color? And then you have to look at it. You know, it looks bad when you have too many Mexican drug cartel members who are Mexican in jails because that implies, I guess, that you're just arresting Mexicans because they're Mexicans rather than Mexicans because they're they're doing drug smuggling crimes. Yeah, yeah, I know. Like I said, you as a regular person of common sense, your mind is probably spinning at this point that that this is the problem that Pam Marsh and the Jeff Goldens of the world try to do. And so anyway, the way it's been explained to me is that Senate Bill 48, once again, the Democrat-controlled legislature now makes it clear that there is a pass given to Mexican drug cartels who get caught in Southern Oregon. So in other words, gosh, you know, you want to go into business, go into business as a foreign national doing the jobs that Americans won't do. You know, you don't have to worry about it. Just go ahead and go through. Of course, there is a case to be made that what's going to happen with those truck drivers once they end up making it back to Sonoma, Mexico, could be, or is it Sonora? May have been Sonora, Mexico. Yeah, Sonora, Mexico. Sonoma's in California. Yeah, Sonora, Mexico. When they get back there, there could be some problems probably laying low because the cartel's still going to say, hey, what did you do with our drugs? Oh, and you talked to the cops, right? And so, yeah, and maybe that's the way that the Jackson County criminal justice system was looking at this. Cut them loose, they're going to have more problems and we don't have to pay for it. And at least the drugs are off the street. Maybe that is the way they looked at it. I can't say for sure because, like I had mentioned, nobody seems to really want to talk much about this, and of course we're not supposed to have much sway in what happens with our criminal justice system. Because remember, after all, we're just we the people, and the people who pay the bills for the criminal justice system, and the state legislators who decided that we're all about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you know, drug cartels, a member should get a pass because it would be racist to imprison anybody before their hearing in September. But I'm sure that's okay that the Mexican drug cartel members will be here on September 11th for their hearing. In fact, I'm hoping that the media down here is going to be waiting. It will just be waiting for them. You know, Channel 12 and Channel 5, you know, they'll be out there with the cameras awaiting the drug cartel members showing up from Mexico. No doubt they're going to be here for the hearing. I have. Yeah, I know. 20 minutes after 6. So that's all I can tell you at the moment. I said I was going to try to find out. That's all I've been able to find out so far. So once again, the Jeff Goldens of the world and the Pam Marshes. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Progressive judicial policies here in Oregon. And this is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. But I'm sure in Ashland, they feel so much better knowing that our Mexican drug cartel people got cut loose. I'm sure they're happy. I'm sure Pam feels great.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy, so if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
Delighted to have you here 23 minutes after 6. Rick Manning joins me for the DC swamp update, and I'll be curious to find out what he's thinking about the changes going on in the Trump campaign, because I guess Corey Lewandowski is going to be coming back in, and he was a campaign manager in the 2016 run, and Don is has reportedly been screaming his pretty head off at all sorts of people that just thinking that the campaign hasn't been going well, and I would agree with him. It has not been going well. But probably not for the reason that Don thinks they're not going well. I got to talk with Rick about this. When Don was talking yesterday out there, well, I think I'm entitled to, you know, the personal attacks and this and that and the other. No, Don, you're not. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, if Donald Trump are right in front of me, not that I'm any expert on any of this, but I'm just a regular guy. No, Don, you're not entitled. You're not entitled to do personal attacks. You know why? Because the future of the country is in danger, and every day you relitigate the 2020 election and whine about something like that is one other female vote that's going to go to Kamala. I'm just telling you that. It's just, I've just had it up to here with this kind of stuff. You're a big man. Start acting like a big man. And start focusing on the issues in play. Border, inflation. I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from. And shut up on the personal attacks. It just doesn't matter. You can't, you can't pull that off. You can talk about being, you know, well, I'm entitled to it. No, you're not. The future of the company, of the country, the entire country is at risk. And if you're going to sit around there and talk about nothing but the steal and how unfair people have been, that doesn't matter. And most people aren't going to care about that yet. That's, yeah, sure, that might feed we MAGA types, but that's not going to move the needle. It's a toss-up race right now. 1%. And, of course, yeah, I know the polls don't matter much, and we're looking at Kamala Harris's honeymoon period right now, and of course they're covering for her, and yeah, it's completely unfair, and this and that and the other. But you have to attack the policies and what they're talking about openly. This is almost like the boys club versus the girls club election is what we're looking at here in 2024. And you're not going to get more girls to vote for the boys team by just sitting there whining about how unfair they've been to the boys right now. It's just not going to work. I wish it could. I wish it could. But it's not. That's just my opinion. And of course, now I'm going to go through emails. Why are you criticizing Donald Trump? Because he's running a stupid campaign right now. That's why. And this is too important. It's too important of a situation to be running stupid, boneheaded campaigns. You just can't do this. So, yeah, I've been really irritated this week just about every time that, the talk on Twitter, on X, was okay. In fact, I wouldn't even mind seeing more of those kind of things, although that was really nothing more than just a big rally kind of talk about, you know, how good I am and this and that and the other. And that's Don. That's Don being Don. I get that. But the idea is not just about having your voters show up. You need to peel a few away from Kamala. And there are a lot of people in this country that essentially vote with the emotional maturity of a 12-year-old, you know, with a student council election. All right? That's the reality of where we find ourselves. There's been a real corrosion of the American electorate, okay? It's my opinion. And sitting around there complaining about things not being fair to you, it's not going to work, Don. Just not. And I hope that the campaign pulls its head out of its behind before it's too late. Because there is too much on the line here. You can't tell me that there's not a serious choice. And I'm sure that most of the national talk show hosts are just going to feed you and talk about, you know, how great he is and, oh, Trump owned him. No, the whining's not going to work this time. It's not going to persuade any of those female voters, which are being vacuumed up right now by the Kamala types. It's not going to peel them away. You're going to have to come at it with stuff that matters to them. You know, maybe that, the price of eggs at, you know, $3.99 or something. You know, those are the kind of things you're going to have to be focusing on rather than, you've weaponized the Justice Department against me and it's very unfair. Yeah, and they're right. They have. It's very unfair. But that's not going to win you any votes right now. I wish it would, but it won't, in my opinion. All right. So what else do we got going on there? Oh, J.D. Vance accepts a proposal to debate Tim Walz. Boy, this ought to be good. October 1st. Boy, it's awfully late. They're already starting early voting in some states. But yeah, October 1st. They're going to do it on CBS. That will be worth watching. That will be worth watching. So we have the Stolen Valor dude and the and when one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness against someone with some common sense. That should be pretty good. The more I see JD, the more I like him. I know that other people are saying that he's not appealing to women. It's like, okay. Here we are back to the girl team versus the boys team. Whew, all right. I'm looking forward to that. A piece of good news before we break for the other news, probably not so good. Nick Morgan in the Rogue Valley Times reporting this morning. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals restored Youth 715's state funding and is fast-tracking their appeal. Remember, I talked about this here a couple of months ago when this was going through the court system. Citing arguments that the state looked the other way with secular groups that also get state funding, a trio of U.S. Ninth Circuit Court judges have granted the Medford faith-based organization an emergency injunction allowing it to resume collecting state grants. And the order issued August 8th also fast-tracks the appeals process for U715 Ministries, whose lawsuit against the Oregon Department of Education director alleging religious discrimination was dismissed last month at U.S. District Court in Medford. And that was written by Circuit Judge Kenneth Lee of San Diego, who heard the case. And in other words, they said it's unfair that they would use a different standard or that they would not do grants to Youth 715 because of their religious orientation. It's not fair. And so they get their money for the time being, and the appeal will then be moving forward. So I think that's relatively some decent news, okay? So not bad. We'll catch up on the rest of what's going on here in just a moment. And then into the swamp update. Oh, one other story I wanted to mention before the town hall news here. Chrissy Ewald of the Daily Courier reports that Three Rivers School District landed a grant for air conditioning at three of their schools. $1.5 million in federal funding. They'll install air conditioning systems at three schools, a welcome advance in a region where smoke from wildfires is now a frequent reality well into the school year. Well, once again, you have Democrats in control of forest policy and true believers who think that, well, we don't want to harvest the forest, but we're really happy to burn it in the summer because that restores it. Yay team. Okay. But you know the part that always concerns me when I hear about these school districts that are saying, well, we had to get a grant or we had to do a bond for the air conditioning. Remember they did that in Phoenix a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know. Time, my, how the years are flying, right? But they say, wow, gosh, you know, we have to have a bond to do our air conditioning, or we had to get a grant in order to do air conditioning. You remember how the Three Rivers School District, how much they spend on each student each year? $30,000 a year. $30,000 for every student in that school, in that school district. $30,000 of taxpayer money. And you're trying to tell me that year after year, with $30,000 a year, that there's never $500 a year per student you could peel off, or $1,000 a year per student you could peel off to actually have air conditioning in the schools? I wonder if the parents ever ask where that $30,000 a year actually goes. Just thought I'd raise the issue. It astounds me. You'd think that they would be out of the regular taxpayer money coming in every year to take care of the schools, meaning the buildings and the kids. Oh, I see. Putting air conditioning in would get in the way of mandated teacher union raises. Okay, I can hear you yelling at me. Okay, I'll stop. I'll just stop. Just letting you know, because we're always told that the reason our kids are so dumb and education sucks is because we're not spending any money. Like, you know, $30,000 a year just isn't enough. I don't know how Cascade Christian manages to educate those kids. It must just be just, well, it's probably God's will and it's a miracle, right? 633, this is KMED and KBXG. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show. I'm sorry, I'm so sarcastic. I can't help it.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. On a visit to North Carolina today, Vice President Harris will unveil her economic program. It's said to include price controls on food and groceries, former President Trump calling them communist price controls. President Biden is applauding the outcome of Medicare drug price negotiations. An illegal alien wanted for almost 24 murders back home in Peru has been arrested in Endicott, New York. Authorities say he entered the U.S. at the Texas-Mexico border in May, was issued an appearance ticket, then was let go. Hurricane Ernesto continues on a course toward Bermuda, where hurricane warnings have been posted. Hurricane's winds were clocked earlier at 85 miles per hour with higher gusts from the storm. On Wall Street this morning, the opening bell is just sounding. Stocks starting off the day in the red following a discouraging report on housing starts last month. More details at SRNnews.com.
Madame Giselle senses a change in your future.
Is it a promotion?
I see a door opening.
Ooh, to a corner office?
There's a creature. Beady eyes, lots of hair.
Is it my boss, Dave?
No, raccoons everywhere. Your RV door is open, and they're chewing everything.
Not a problem. I'm covered by Progressive. Do you see a bigger paycheck?
Customize your coverage with Progressive's Pest Damage Protection. and be prepared for the unexpected. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pest damage protection available for RVs less than 6 years old. $250 deductible applies to any claim. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. Call 800-935-2277. That's 800-935-2277.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to tap. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to tap, serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at siskiyoupump.com.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Maher and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastle's Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:38,
it is time.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, because I don't want to see. Mama told me, let's go.
He is back in the house, at least via phone at this point. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, with the D.C. Swamp Update. Rick, missed you last Friday, but it's great to have you back. Good morning.
Glad to be back. I was on a missions trip in Tennessee, and it's very refreshing.
A missions trip, like a religious mission, or
my church. Went about 50 of us went down to Tennessee and helped some people who needed help, and shared love of Jesus a little bit. It was great.
Okay,
it was a great time.
I'm glad to hear that. All right, I'm hoping not to come to Jesus with the Trump campaign. I was talking about this a few minutes ago, and I know that I was for some reason I woke up this morning and I heard Donald Trump on Town Hall News, and he was talking about, well, you know, I have a right. I don't know if he said a right, but you know, listen, I have a right to, you know, for personal attacks and this and that and the other. And I'm going, no, Don, you don't. You don't. And I was just talking with Monica, listener Monica, who has talked to me just before you came on here and was telling me, you know, he needs to put his ego aside. There's too much at stake in this presidential election right now to be sitting around. How you play the tough guy when you're talking about the victim, being the victim on the campaign trail? I just don't know how that works right now, how that squares.
Well, it doesn't, and it's a, if anybody has a, I'll use the word right, but certainly a reason for being able to point out all the times when unfair things have been done to them, illegal things have been done to them, forces that kind of exposing a lot of stuff, the deep state stuff and the like, is Donald Trump. The challenge is, for him to get elected president, the way he gets elected president is be presidential.
Yes.
Don't be whiny. And so the best way to handle that is you know, a lot of bad things have happened. But the fact of the matter is I'm standing here in spite of them because this country is too important to abandon.
That's the message. See, that's the message. That's a positive message. That's like saying, yes, we've been kicked several times, been kicked, and you're not having to go down there, but we're here to make it right, you know?
Right, and that's a, you know, we're here to restore the rule of law. We're here to restore the concept of one person, one vote. We're here to restore and just go through the restoration process on a variety of issues where abuses have been found and have been engaged in. And in doing that, he reminds people of the abuses without
dwelling on the abuses.
Without making himself weak. He's the answer. He has to be the answer for 2025. He can't be just a reminder of 2020 or 2018 or 2019. He has to be the answer for 2015 or for 2025. Kamala Harris's campaign, on the other hand, is running as almost like a sitcom. Yeah. But they are, you know, there's no life prior to the campaign. They're looking completely ahead, and they're saying, and effectively you're saying, anybody wants to dwell on our past records, you know, that's just looking at the past, and we have to move forward unburdened by the past. Well, you know, their records do need to be talked about, although I think the stolen valor stuff with Walz is – I think it's very significant with veterans. I also think,
and you know, and that could move some needles in certain battleground states. That could,
100%, 100% true. But it is but the bigger picture with him is he's crazy. Okay, I mean that's a far more important thing if you're looking at who's going to be the, you know, one heartbeat from the president. Is the person sane? And he is not. He's said politically that one of his best friends is Ilhan Omar. He has been, so he's embraced the entire anti-Semitic
ultra-radical squad way of thinking.
He stood on the sidelines on Minneapolis burned. He punished. They went after the cops. He was when Minneapolis burned.
And by the way, what was this thing about the paintball? I heard something about having people shooting with paintballs or something like that. Did you hear anything about that?
I haven't heard that one.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. All I know is if he's converted the, he's changed the rubber bullets to paintball pellets, that goes, I guess if you're going to try to, if it's got some kind of tracking device on it, so you can track them down and arrest them later. But I'm sure they're not doing that.
Yeah.
There is, you know, the bottom line with this guy is he is every radical, crazy idea that they want to foist upon America. He is embraced. I mean, when somebody, all you have to do is, I mean, this is really, really simple. All you have to do is have your elementary school boy walk into his bathroom, into the bathroom, and have him look around and say, what is this? And see a tampon dispenser there. And because that is what he did. He put tampon dispensers in elementary school boys' bathrooms.
And we had that same thing happen here in the state of Oregon. Same sort of thing. Unfortunately, there's some idiotic Republicans joined in on that, too, if you can believe that.
I can because I've been in Oregon. But but it is a, you know, let's face it. There's always going to be Republicans who sit there and try to catch the wave and say, well, I don't want to be on the wrong side of history 20 years from now, rather than standing up for what's right now.
Well, I know that the United States of America always stood for a tampons in boys' rooms. I know that's a big part.
That's a universal. That's part of it. I read that in the Declaration of Independence somewhere. I think it's down at the bottom part of it.
Fine print.
That nobody reads. It's one of the grievances against Great Britain that they wouldn't allow tampon dispensers in boys' restrooms.
They probably called it Glad Rags or something like that. So it's something that way we didn't.
Well, okay,
know.
That's why we can't figure out what it is. And besides, it's written in cursive, so we can't read it. But it's. Just can't resist.
I know. It's a pretty absurd word. World, I know what we're talking about.
We are. No, I mean, the song that we chose as the intro for this segment a few years ago, that's what we're living in. We are living in the craziest, absolute craziest time we could ever have. And what the Kamala Harris campaign is attempting to do is to not talk about any of that and not talk about what they actually stand for, not talk about that Kamala Harris is, as AG, actually prosecuted the guy who did the videotapes of Planned Parenthood selling
baby parts. Yeah, the dead baby parts. Remember that.
And so, she's the one who was, she looked at a case where Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts and said, oh, the guy who took the videos is wrong and I'm going to prosecute him.
Yeah, so they go after that rather than Planned Parenthood instead. So right. That tells you
Those are the kind of things that we need, that Donald Trump should be talking about to differentiate, as opposed to, you know, we all know what happened in 2020. He doesn't need to tell us anymore. He needs to focus on 2025, the threat that's provided by Harris, and the solutions he's going to bring forward. If he does that, he wins.
Yeah, agreed. And that's it. And it's too important. As you wrote a piece the other day, the soul of the nation is really up for grabs. And I have to tell you, there is a large percentage of the population, unfortunately, that will fall. You know, who looks at voting with the emotional maturity of a 12-year-old making a student council choice, right? You know, this is, you know, kind of what they're doing right now on the Democratic side. And this is too important. It's too important to leave it to the people, to a student council type race this year. It's just too important forward.
Yeah, we have the bottom line on it is the left has been saying it's the battle for the soul of America since Barack Obama made his fundamental transformation speech, where he challenged that America as we know it was needed to be changed at its core. And you move forward 10 years, that happened in, I guess, 16 years ago. That was the October 2008. You move forward 16 years, and Kamala Harris is saying, one of her famous sayings is, a future unburdened by the past. I'm synthesizing a lot of words in between it because she doesn't speak clearly. But she wants a future unburdened by the past. That sounds great from a Christian perspective if you're talking about your spirit, your eternal soul, because, yes, believing in Jesus and accepting Jesus is a future unburdened by your past because your past has been forgiven. That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about an American future unburdened by the past, which is our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, the entirety of the American experience. She wants the future governance of this country to no longer be determined by a majority with minority rights, individual liberties guaranteed by God, but instead by a government that provides privileges and indulgences to those who do its will and punishments to those who don't.
And this is, in essence, a battle for the soul of Western civilization, what's left of Western civilization.
We are all that's left of Western civilization.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, you look at what's happening in Great Britain right now. People ask me, and this is a little divergence, but I think people have to understand this. You're not getting a lot of news about what's happening in Great Britain right now, but people have to take a look at it. You had a Labour government go into place, effectively a Kamala Harris government go into place. They were immediately allowed a rush, a massive flow of illegal immigrants, largely from Muslim countries, to come into Great Britain. So they allowed that to happen. The people who have lived in Great Britain a long time, their ancestors have roots in Great Britain, stood up and said, no, you're not doing that. And the government
arrests them.
Clashes.
They arrest
them. The government arrests the people who have the Union Jack hanging from their stoop. arrested them rather than people who have the Algerian flag hanging from theirs. That's the truth. That is what's happened, and that is what how the government in Great Britain has been transformed. And remember, you know, one of the things about Great Britain, while they claim we claim some of our history from them, the fact of the matter is they don't have a Declaration of Independence. They don't have a Constitution. They don't have a Bill of Rights. They have a Magna Carta, which was basically an agreement between the king and a bunch of barons that the king wouldn't be as mean to them and would let them have some property rights. That's what they have as their fundamental document. So there are no individual rights guarantees in Great Britain. They do have the law, the English law, which has some presumptions of innocence and the like. But the fact of the matter is their government is not, it really doesn't represent what our government represents. We are fundamentally different in that regard.
And I would say the same with Canada. Canada, very similar in that respect. Canada is a dead letter at this point in time. It is.
100%. I think there are Trudeau has ended Canada as a, and quite honestly, that's why we're now seeing massive immigration across the northern border.
And when it comes right down to it, Kamala Harris wants to end America as we knew it, too. So much like in Canada, much like in the UK. Right. Same thing.
And for the first time in U.S. history, this can be said, we have a leftist government in Mexico that can be perceived as an enemy. They certainly are trying to poison our kids through their cartels. We have a government in Canada that cannot be considered a friend. It is and as a result, is far more likely to do business with China than it is to be an ally of ours under Trudeau. So we are, for the first time, our geographic location, which protects us from a lot of warfare,
is not really protecting us any longer because of our neighbors.
We have, and when you combine that with the massive inflow of illegal immigrants with no allegiance to this country, in fact, allegiance is to others, and male and military age, when you combine those two things, and how we've had an influx into our cities, large and small, of people who have absolutely no historical tie to our country. You see that this is a battle for the soul of America, because the idea of America is being erased. When they tear down statues, they are erasing the idea of America. They're saying the 1619 Project by the left was very clear. It said, America has an original sin of slavery. Everything was built by slavery. And as a result, America is not the most moral, just country in the world. It is the least moral and most unjust country in the world. And those who settled America must be driven from power. That is what that's what they believe. So if we believe that the Declaration of Independence matters, that all people being created equal, all men created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, if we believe that to be true, if we think that makes your heart beat a little faster and feel a little prouder as you think about the idea of America, that is the DNA, that's the soul of America, that's what makes us tick, and that is what's under assault, and they don't even bother to lie about it anymore. Obama said fundamental transformation, but never put any skin on it. But what did he do? They took over the banking system through Dodd-Frank, and they took over the healthcare system through Obamacare, and they took over the student loan system through Obamacare. What do we have now? We have a student loan system where we have people massively in debt for educations that don't matter, and what does the government now do? They say, "Gee, we're gonna pay off your debt. We're not gonna make you pay your debt." So they've created essentially debtors of our young people.
But you see, they are dependent on the system, which was what the real purpose was.
Exactly correct. And we have on Obamacare, we saw what the control, the federal government control of the hospital system through the insurance system, what that ended up doing, and during COVID, where cures could not be explored, we couldn't actually try to try to help people, what we had to do was we had to do what the federal government said.
Yeah, and we bring in a bunch of woke incompetents running the hospital systems now, but they tick the right political boxes. That's all that matters.
That is a significant portion of it. So we see the control, the federal control over the healthcare system. We see the federal control over the banking system. How does that? And we see the federal control over the. Over the education system.
And you see, this is that battle, Rick, and goes back to why I cannot handle Donald Trump whining about the unfairness of what had happened in the past. That doesn't matter. You have to
suck it up.
You got to suck it up, man, and you got to do battle, because the battle here in November is too important. And I can say this, really, this is probably the most clear choice where you're going to go on government and electoral policy in this particular election. You know, when you hear all these people, oh, it's just the uniparty. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, there is a clear choice, though. And even then, Donald Trump will have a hellacious time trying to move policy. You know that.
Well, and the reason for that is that people who say there's no choice, it's a uniparty, they might be right on the congressional level.
Yeah.
And it's a, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you move Congress by having a president who has a vision and is fighting forward on real policies and real change. What we had in 2017 was a president who had some ideas, but had absolutely no idea how to accomplish them. And so he had the right rhetoric, and he changed some things in terms of really making big differences in regulations and with the Supreme Court, although there's some disappointments. He did make some real changes. But the Donald Trump of 2025 will be a Donald Trump who actually has an idea of what he's doing. So he won't just listen to have a bill that's a 1,000-page bill stuck on his desk and say, oh, you have to sign it or the government's going to shut down. We're not even going to tell you what's in it. I mean, that's what happened to him in 2017, 2018. That's why he didn't get the ball built. That's why, because McConnell and Paul Ryan, the Speaker at the time, didn't want to build the wall. So they gave him a bill that didn't have the wall to sign and said, oh, the government's going to shut down if you don't. Too bad. He depended upon Mike Pence to run his legislative affairs. And what Mike Pence did is he ran the legislative affairs that Paul Ryan and
that the rhinos wanted. Okay,
and yeah. That is exactly what happened. I have hope, not perfect hope, but hope that the lessons learned will result in a much more focused White House on getting things done, both legislatively and administratively, and that is, and they will understand that they have a 15-month window to do it. And hence, they're not going to, it's going to be hard to get much done in 15 months, but that's their window. They know that, but he can't be sitting there in a campaign wandering around, not actually talking about the things people care about. Because if he's not going to talk about the things to care about, Kamala Harris will give him something else to care about. That's his, and what she wants is to say, oh, we just need to be one big happy family again. You know, there's all this fighting over policy and stuff. You know, we don't want to have that. We're gonna make certain that food prices go down by just making it so we restrict how high food prices can be.
Oh, yeah, and that gets to me. That's going to be the wrap this morning. I remember as a kid. Now you're a little bit older than me, so you're a little older than me when this happened. I remember the last time this country really tried to do price controls in the early 1970s. You remember those, Rick? Remember that? Remember the Jerry Ford and the whip inflation now buttons?
I remember it well, and it was really, really hard as a person a free market person who had been doing politics since he was five, and I'm a teenager. And now suddenly the person who I supported for president was, over all the fights of people who are my age about Vietnam, I stood there and fought with him about it, and literally I did, just as you can imagine.
Yep.
And it was, and now this, now they come up with a direct assault on free market economies and say, gee, the government's going to temporarily do this, largely because they we went off the gold standard and we floated our currency.
Yep.
Which caused some real disruption. Then, but no, we're going to freeze prices. We're going to do this. And I remember the empty shelves in the grocery store.
Me too.
As a direct result of that.
Me too. Yeah. We have price controls lead to one thing. Price controls ultimately lead to Venezuela. Okay.
They lead to empty shelves. But when you put the Kamala Harris price controls in place, add this into the equation. We have somebody who's taking farmland off the out of farming. They're eliminating farmland. As part of their policy, they are putting restrictions on the ability to kill bugs. So they for agriculture, for environmental purposes. Hence, you have less produce that's being able to be brought to market as it is. They put trying to drive the cattle business out of business. So meat is going to go through the roof. You're not going to be able to get it. They are putting water restrictions on that make it so the world there's been a number of regulations that deal with federal control over waterways.
Ultimately, we're getting to the point here because I'm out of time now, Rick. But the point being, though, is that there is a choice. And anybody that says that there is not a choice, this is just a uniparty thing. I just want to smack them upside the head, you know, in this election process. I really do.
And I cannot believe some of the people who I've looked at as being conservatives in the past, have conversations with in the past, who look past all of this and say, I just don't like Donald Trump. So
I don't care.
Policy,
I
so I'm gonna,
don't
I'm
care. You know,
you're the right answer. I don't care. America itself is at stake. We have to stand and fight for America now. And that's what we have to do.
It is a binary choice. Bottom line.
Binary choice.
100%. There are two. All right. And now the story is even RFK Jr. saying, oh, you know, I'll endorse you, Kamala, if you would give me a cabinet choice. Okay, cabinet pick.
Well, maybe he could be in charge of interior and the disposal of bears.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway.
Hey, Rick, thank you for the talk as always.
I
tell you, and I'm hoping that the cooler heads are starting to prevail because I know nobody tells Donald Trump anything, but Donald Trump needs to be persuaded. It ain't about you right now. It is about saving the country. It just is. Okay?
100%.
All right. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Lots to read there this morning, including the Rick Manning piece that we were just discussing about the battle for the soul of the country. Rick, catch you next Friday. Be well, okay?
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 3 minutes after 7, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News, the rest of that coming up.